So our topic for discussion this month is all about marketing for media composers, about getting your work out in front of the people who may want to buy it. There's a dictionary definition from a very well-known online encyclopedia, which describes marketing as being the process of communicating the value of a product or service to customers. When I think about it in terms of like applying it to media composers in particular, I think of it as being, well, first, the first thing that applies, I guess, is that we're selling a service as opposed to selling a product. Although, is that when I'm trying to think about it, I suppose there are people who just want to buy tracks, and kind of licensing is more like that, you're selling products.
Mm-hmm.
But for bespoke composition stuff, then you're selling a service.
So you're selling a service, yeah. The work that you create becomes part of a product that someone else is doing. Usually it's a business-to-business situation as opposed to business-to-consumer.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of marketing, it'd be interesting to sort of talk about various things that we've done that we would class as marketing our own businesses. Whether it's actually we would think of it as marketing or not, it probably would be defined that way. Do you have any sort of stories about how you've marketed yourself? Say when you started out, how you got your first jobs, how you got yourself known?
Yeah, well, I think if we sort of take it, you know, back to that sort of the discussion around marketing about it being. This idea about communicating the value of something. I think that's important to get this sort of concept straight first, which is that when people are buying stuff, this is from some business training thing that I did ages ago, and as musicians, I think it's quite difficult to always think of yourself as being a business person, but you are in the business of selling something.
Yeah.
So the rules of business actually apply to you in just the same way as any other business. You can't sort of, you know, separate yourself out as being something different, because the market forces and all of that stuff all sort of applies.
Mm.
And one of the things that the business training people were kind of banging on about and stressing and being an important point, which I think is absolutely right, is that when people are buying stuff and making decisions about what to purchase, they don't actually buy the things. What they buy is they buy the benefits of having the things that they buy. So in our case, if they're buying your service as a composer, they're buying the benefits of having your music on the track. They're not actually... You know, I don't know quite how to. It's, yeah, I suppose there's better analogies with products. I suppose you know, if people want to buy a washing machine because the washing machine's broken, then they will they don't want to buy a washing machine just to have a washing machine. They want to buy it because it's going to clean their clothes for them, and you know, and do all. So they're buying the benefits rather than. So that's an important thing to kind of have in your head, I suppose, that when you're thinking about marketing, kind of stressing what the benefits are that you can bring to stuff is kind of more important, I suppose, than trying to sell, you know, I don't know, sell yourself or...
Yeah. It's interesting you said about that we don't necessarily always look at ourselves as a business. Is that something that you struggled with when you started out? I think there might be a kind of, I don't know whether it's just with creative people in general, but selling yourself as a business seems somehow unrelated to the creative side of what you do, which is what you might consider to be your main goal.
Yeah.
The thing that you do is the work that you create, but then having to put that in business terms, sometimes it's hard to get your head around that when you're starting out. Was that something that did you have trouble with seeing yourself as Steve Luck as a business rather than a musician?
It takes a while, I think, to get your head around it. I think, and it's a different proposition to you know, like you say, like the, I think there's always been this issue with art and commerce kind of rubbing up against each other and not always being comfortable. So people don't understand why paintings can cost millions of pounds for some people, and then other artists that might be the, you know, the other people, because the people make value judgments about the artwork and about the, you know, what they perceive it's worth to be, and all of that. And there's the same thing goes on in terms of the value of, you know, unknown, unsigned artists and kind of the big megastar artists and stuff in music as well. So, so yes, but I think that's something that I had to learn about, and it wasn't immediately obvious. It was something that you kind of, I suppose, grasped the fact that you are a brand. If you want to try and make some money, if you want to get some money off somebody other than by nicking it or whatever, then you have to kind of, you know, you have to the rules of sort of commerce and business and all that apply to you in just the same way as anybody else, and it's no different. So that's it's really important point to stress.
Well, when I started, I just came from a background of just being a musician, but I joined a business incubator at the University of Sunderland called Creativity Works, which was businesses in the creative fields in their first 12 months, and it was sort of guiding them through all the basic steps you would need, accountancy, marketing, and stuff like that. And it was through being involved with that, that was the first time I ever really learned how to sort of sell what I did as a business, because not that I felt that it was unseemly, but putting a price on what you do and trying to sell what you do to people that you don't know is quite a strange thing. If that's not part of your background, I have no real business background. Yeah. And that was something I had to learn to do as well. And after a while, like you say, the art and commerce, it doesn't always go well together. But after a while, you kind of, you know, the art was fine. I could do with a bit more commerce, really.
Couldn't we all, yes.
More commerce, please. Yes.
Well, I think for media composers, I mean, one of the things that's useful, again, just sort of going back to sort of basic principles about marketing, is this idea of defining who the customers are and try to define what they want. So that was something that I tried to identify, again, going back to the starting point in sort of working this through, was to try to say, well, who is it is going to buy this thing? And I suppose I did some piano teaching, but I still do some piano teaching and have done for a while. And actually, the thing about that is most of the people that come in are kids, but they're not the customers. You know, it's the parents of the customers. So it's like identifying who's going to write the checks, or who's going to pay the bills for whatever. Mm. In terms of media composing, it's exactly the same thing. It's about trying to identify who is it that you need to be on side with.
So on a practical level, how did you go about doing that? You say you identify who the user would be. How did you actually do that? Did you call people?
I did research. I used the internet. You found websites with lists of media companies on. In particular, I was sort of targeting film to begin with. So I found that, you know, the Northern Film and Media website, the local screen agency website, was really useful as a kind of starting point for, you know, just kind of getting a feel for what sorts of companies were out there and what kinds of things they were doing. I suppose it's like keeping your ear to the ground a bit. Yeah. It kind of feels like, oh, you're just surfing the net and not necessarily doing stuff, but you kind of pick up knowledge about what's going on in your area, sort of thing. And then I did do cold calling. I sort of rang people up and asked them if they would like a show reel, and sent them show reels and all of that stuff. I put together a website, or had somebody put together a website on my behalf. You know, obviously me sort of trying to incorporate what was what I thought was the best things to include on the website. Well, that's probably a whole other topic about how to design a good website for media composers. I'd ring people up. I would also try and get out and about and go and see people and do kind of face-to-face networking, or set up meetings and go and talk to people about what I do, and or invite them to the studio. I thought was a really good way of getting people kind of on side in terms of, like, you know, being in the space where the thing's created. There seems to be something about that it sort of links in a bit more. So, and you're on your on your own patch, and you've got everything that you can show and talk, about stuff.
So when you were doing all that, did you think of that as marketing when you were doing it? Or was it just, did you have that kind of clarity, or were you just simply seeing what you could achieve, seeing who you could get in contact with?
No, I think there's some bits. I suppose there's some bits that you view as marketing, but then when you talk about marketing in terms of, like, communicating the value of something to customers, then probably most of the stuff that you do could be interpreted as marketing. Yeah. Or every bit of communication yeah. that you send out, whether it's emails, you know, the things like having an email signature with links to tracks on or links to the website on, or having, or, you know, sort of letterheads or kind of all of those kinds of, you know, bits of communication all count, I think. You know, they are all, it's all presenting some information to somebody that if they don't know much about you, then that's what they receive. And it's remembering that, I suppose, that kind of keeps you. So, yes, I think I did have have an idea of that. That was Kit Haig with Glowing Hoops. So what sort of things have you been doing, Peter, for marketing for your work?
Well, when I first started, I went to a place called Project Northeast in Newcastle, and I had a meeting with a business advisor and explained that I wanted to try and do composing as a as a career for a business, and they were like, "Yeah, good."
That's nice.
And then, so I did. Well, one of the first things I did, I went to a place called Project Northeast in Newcastle, just to get some advice about how to set up your own business. And through them, I received a marketing grant, which basically, it was just a small grant, but it enabled me to buy some basic things like blank CDs, some artwork, and I did a showreel that I did. I probably did the thing that a lot of people do, which I think it's not necessarily considered to be the right thing to do. I just sent out a load of CDs to different companies, whether they were looking for something or not. And it's probably not the best use of your time or money. I think out of 50 CDs, I got about 3 responses, which apparently, all things considered, it's not that bad.
Yeah, 6%. That's pretty good.
And they were quite encouraging, the responses I did get. But then I decided to try and contact companies directly over the phone. That's cold calling, which nobody really likes to do, but it's something you have to get used to doing. Same as what you did. And I tried to arrange some meetings with people to go and see people. I think that's one of the most important things, is to actually see people face to face. And then you can talk to them, you can find out what they're looking for, and you can express a bit about yourself, what you do. It's very important, because it can be quite faceless doing everything online.
And also really easy to ignore people. It's really easy to ignore emails and that. You know, I get loads of emails that I don't read. You know, there's loads of unread emails, because I know that it's kind of marketing stuff from somebody who's trying hard to do the same sorts of things as you're trying to do. But it's a good lesson to learn, you know, to think how you respond to spam or, well, not spam, but, you know, marketing information.
It's certainly worth your while just trying to just put a little bit of time aside to go around local businesses next to you and go and have those one-on-one meetings with people. And that, more than anything, has led to actual work for me. But I suppose, in terms of marketing, I'm not necessarily the most, in terms of like how you market yourself, I'm not the most outgoing of people. And I find that most of my work's come through word of mouth, or from people I've worked with who work, you know, their associates. So the personal side of it, I'd say, is probably the most important thing.
But I know it sounds a bit weird, but isn't like the word of mouth thing is as a result of stuff that you've done. So at some stage, then you have communicated the value of what you do to somebody, and then they've communicated to somebody else.
Yes.
So it's, in a way, I don't know if everything always comes back to, you know, can be classed as marketing or not, you know, but there's a definite link there.
Yeah. I think that's why it's really important, whatever job you do, you go above and beyond, because a bad impression on someone, that'll just spread really quickly.
Yeah.
And that can be the death of you, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's trying to be good to work with is probably one of the best ways of marketing yourself, and not being a pain, not being precious, giving them what they want, delivering on time, high quality stuff. If you do all of that, then, you know, who's not going to come back? You know, if they've had a really great experience with working with you. So, you know, I suppose in summary, we can say that, you know, marketing is something which is really important, and actually it's probably something that you do all the time, every time that you communicate about the work that you do. It's kind of something to be thoughtful about.
Indeed.
If there, well, if you want more information and some really useful, helpful, practical sort of hints and tips about things that other composers have tried, there is a great article from a composer called Heather Fennity, who has written an article called 51 Marketing Ideas for Film Composers, and that's on the scorecastonline.com website, and that's it's got loads of ideas in there that you can try out.